thank you. So is it that we have a particular frame of reference, and what we cannot explain in that frame of reference, that we attribute to God? And if our frame of reference expands in future, then we will see things differently.
Like a lot of diseases, they would say...
Yeah, let me complete this. I got your point, example. See, basically, we're not, first of all, talking about beyond the frame of reference. Simply talking about within the frame of reference itself, the explainability requires explanation. That's the first point, Within the, if I assuming the frame of reference, nature itself I assume as a closed system, with nothing existing outside nature. Then, as I said, the correlation between why nature works in a particular way and the human brain works in a particular way and why are they two correlated, that itself requires explanation. So the frame of reference itself is not a complete thing. As I said, Einstein, the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible. So in that sense, the frame of reference itself is not an exhaustive explanation. So we are not talking about explaining something which is not explainable within the frame of reference. We are talking about explaining that which is explainable within that frame of reference itself. Why is it explainable that way? That's the first point. The second point is, if at all we say that our frame of reference is expanding, and we will get different conceptions at different times, then the implication of that would be, not only would it disprove, or not only would challenge the existence of God, or the validity of any knowledge about God, it would challenge the validity of all knowledge, including the knowledge of science. Because if our brain has evolved simply by unguided natural processes, then that would mean that the brain has evolved simply for the purpose of survival. Yeah, that's what, survival of the fittest. So the brain has not evolved for the purpose of discerning ultimate truth. So, actually speaking, science, which involves observing certain patterns in nature and arriving at some conclusions, the very validity of scientific knowledge rests on the presumption of the validity of sense perception. Now, I may say future scientific findings science is open to understanding, and future scientific understanding can, scientific findings can disprove this theory. But even when I am saying that future scientific findings will disprove the present theory, I am assuming that the future scientific findings are correct. In the whole process, I am assuming that I, with my senses, can get valid knowledge. So within my frame of reference, this was the valid knowledge. But when my frame of reference expanded, I got some more knowledge because of it, less, this is not valid. But even to assume that within my frame of reference, the knowledge that I have got is valid, that requires the assumption that we can get knowledge. We can get knowledge in a particular way. So basically, if we had a purely naturalistic worldview, then there is no question of any reliability of human perception. Because human perception is not meant for gaining ultimate knowledge from a naturalistic perspective. It is meant simply for existential knowledge. How to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, how to defend, how to survive. That's all. So, no scientific knowledge at all could be considered not just conclusive, but at all authoritative anyway. Let me complete what I'm saying. So, naturalism, in that sense, if we consider science as one body of knowledge, and if we consider naturalism as an exhaustive philosophy, that this frame of reference is all that exists. And this
that's not what I said.
Okay, this frame of reference is what is evolving. Okay, but this frame of reference, when I said is all that exists, what I mean by that is that this frame of reference is what we are perceiving right now. And within that frame of reference, we are perceiving something. Mm-hmm. But our very capacity to perceive something, it assumes that I have reliability, that my sense perceptions are reliable. But there is no need for that within natural perspective. In terms of ultimate knowledge, in terms of immediate knowledge, that's fine. So I'll give an example to say what I'm saying. That if I consider that right now I'm sitting on this chair. This chair is on this wooden floor. This wooden floor is on some basement, some foundation. That foundation is on the earth. So, you know, ultimately, I am sitting on something which is a stable foundation. So, our chain of skepticism, it has to stop somewhere. If I am skeptical, you know, one of the things which I found most striking is that we can be skeptical, but often we are not. We are skeptical about everything except skepticism.
Are you stopping the questioning attitude?
No, I'm not stopping the questioning attitude. I'm saying that skepticism can tell me what is wrong. Skepticism can never tell me what is right. Because no matter what explanation I come to, I can always be skeptical about that. So I have a particular body of knowledge which I'm skeptical about. I have another body of knowledge which I'm skeptical about. I have another body of knowledge I'm skeptical about. But what about being skeptical about skepticism itself? Skepticism can never tell me what is right. It can only tell me what is wrong. And in that way, it can only lead to negation of the knowledge that I have. It cannot lead to affirmation of anything. So therefore,
I mean, that's wrong. Scientific inquiry or the questioning is what is progress science.
Yeah.
That's the hallmark of
Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. But every scientist takes a leap of faith.
It's a hypothesis.
It's a hypothesis. But essentially, at that particular point, it is functioning. Today, for example, when the Large Hadron Collider is made. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Oh no, okay. Millions and millions of dollars are spent over there.
Sure.
So this is done based on the faith that it can give us some reliable finding. What that finding is, whether it proves a particular theory, whether it proves or disproves a particular theory, that's a different thing. But the fact is that in science, whenever we talk about science finding out knowledge, there is a faith that the observations that we make are correct. That we have the senses by which we can make correct observations. Then when I postulate a particular pattern, a particular theory, you know, I have faith that this theory explains these observations. Then I set up an experiment by which I am going to evaluate the theory. I have faith that that experiment is adequate enough to evaluate the theory. Tomorrow some other experiment might come up, which the same theory, we could find out that it doesn't work that way. Then from that experiment, I come to a conclusion. Now, from that experiment, whatever I come to a conclusion, I have the faith that this conclusion is adequately derivable from this experiment. The whole of science is based on the principle of induction, at least as it operates now. Now, the validity of induction itself is a matter of faith. That I have seen 100 times an object that is dropped falls down. Therefore, I say that in future, if an object is dropped, it will fall down. Now, I could say it's a reasonable idea. But there's no guarantee over there. Where Immanuel Kant, one of the fundamental things he pointed out was that induction itself is a matter of faith. So we had this Samsung phones which are exploding all the time. You know,
only a few brands,
but
the battery.
But the point is, again, the induction. Today, when I take up this phone, you know, I do have faith that it's not going to explode. It's a reasonable faith, but it is faith. So the point which I'm making is that faith is not opposed to knowledge. Faith is the precondition for knowledge of any kind. It is not just the knowledge of God, but even knowledge of science. Skepticism itself is based on the faith that skepticism can lead to some knowledge.
And that's what the whole point of science is inquiry.
Spirituality is also about inquiry. Athato brahma jigyasa. Inquire about spiritual truth. The Bhagavad Gita is a conversation which is full of inquiry. In fact, the whole of spirituality is actually meant to expand the scope of our inquiry. Expand the scope of our inquiry beyond the causal chain that we are looking at in science. We accept the causal chain in science. But as I said, that there is a correct explanation, there is a complete explanation. So, we are not denying the correctness. Okay, why did this ball go into the hole? Yes, there is an explanation for that. This ball hit at this angle, this one. But is it a complete explanation? So, you know, often the conflict between science and religion comes when we get caught in this frame of reference and we start challenging, you know, but this can be explained like this, can be explained like this. What we are talking about is that this frame of reference is not the complete reality. Whatever is explainable within this frame of reference, that itself requires an explanation. So science, for its very validity of functioning, requires nature to be working in an orderly way. And the orderliness of nature requires an explanation beyond nature. And that's where we are talking about expanding the scope of inquiry. Expanding the scope of inquiry to look at ultimate causes. What happens in science is we look at causes, but we look at intermediate causes. We look at causes with the assumption that laws of nature are working. But why are those laws of nature existing at all? Now, it is not that the scientific explanations are necessarily wrong or necessarily right. They are a matter of investigation. And some theories are proven to be right, some theories are proven to be wrong. But the point is, why is there... Today I found this is a... proposed this was the law of nature, but I found this is not the law, this is the law. Or this is a small law, this is an expanded version of the law. But why do those laws exist at all? That is where we need an explanation. So the very explainability of nature requires an explanation outside the scope of nature. And that is where we need to expand the scope of our inquiry. So science is not about... So when you talk about God and spirituality, we are not using that to reject inquiry. We are rather using it to expand the scope of inquiry. Okay. Thank you.
I think we can go all night.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, please.
Thank you for sharing. I would like to ask, so if God is like nature and in the business of the isness of like our soul and nature being kind of one, so like if I was to take that perspective of like being in homeostasis with nature, like I've experienced that, it's like the oneness and synchronicity and all that good stuff, so like why would we need like a personal depiction such as Krishna or Jesus or Muhammad or whatever? Is that just so that we can like relate because we're people and they have a form? Or
okay, yeah.